The first lesson for today is from the 21st and 22nd chapter of Revelation. And in the Spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore. But the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The second lesson for today is from the fifth chapter of John. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool, called in Hebrew Bethzatha, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As sometimes happens, I think, well, no, this will clearly come across on the screen. No problem. I've enlarged it. It's great. It's clearly not the case in this circumstance, so I will explain this illustration as well. It comes out of a Marvel comic book, and the primary character is Galactus. So I will tell you this and let you ponder it as we go through this morning. The first panel, the person speaking on the left says, "This change in you is unacceptable." The one in the bottom right corner of that panel says, "It is what I am now." The other one returns, "Then you are unacceptable. You are a threat to things remaining as they must be, to the status quo." He continues in the second panel, "You are a threat to order, and I am order." In the middle of that bottom panel, "And you, Lord Chaos, you side with your brother?" And to the right, he says, "No, never. My brother is wrong, wrong." Up at the top right panel, you see him continue, "You were the devourer, destroyer of worlds. You brought random destruction, beautiful upheaval, necessary catastrophe. On the left panel on that lower right side, now you are life bringer. Now you repair that damage. You stem the tide of chaos. In the middle, he says, and I am, at the bottom right of that, he replies, enough. It concludes, your reasons are different, but the goal is the same. You ask me to undo my progress to be as I was. The answer is no. If you don't make the connection by the end of this, let me know, and I'd be glad to tell you where I was thinking. So we take for granted that healing is important and desirable. These readings gave me reason to wonder why it's so important. I suspect the reasons are many and varied. So perhaps there are combinations of the following. Because we don't like brokenness. We are afraid of brokenness. We don't like pain. Because we don't like sorrow. We don't like to suffer. We don't like being left out. Because we are afraid of death. Healing is certainly important enough that Jesus demonstrated it and promised it. If we are healed, we will have wholeness. If we are healed, we have the chance to live to our full potential. We could see what we could really do. That all sounds great. Healing, though, can also be scary, particularly if we've gotten used to our brokenness in whatever form it takes, even comfortable with it. If we are healed, it's possible others' expectations might increase, or our own expectations. The natural outs that come with illness are gone. And for healing, sometimes, even commonly, something is required of us. Maybe it's physical therapy. Maybe it's a change in diet. Maybe it's taking a medication regularly. Maybe it's redirecting our thoughts. And the idea of having a chance to live to our full potential might be scary too. Nothing is holding us back. If our nation was healed from its brokenness, then we would need to live up to something more. There would be no more excuses if our nation was healed from its hatred, its fear, its racism, its sexism, its other-ism, any-ism, from greed and hoarding. As example, I'm just as guilty of enjoying Super Bowl ads, which cost as much as it would take to feed people for years. If our nation was healed from its superiority, arrogance, and ugliness, then we would expect more of ourselves. We should expect more of ourselves. We would need to live up to the gospel. Instead, though, we lay on our mats. We could get closer to the healing pool and stay there until the waters are stirred up again so no one can get in front of us and in the way of our healing, but we lay on our mats, just out of reach of healing. The book of Revelation reads as a description of an otherworldly, futuristic society, but we would do well to see it as intended, as representative of both God's coming reign and God's reign, which is already begun here. Jesus says, stand up, take your mat and walk. Not, a day will come when you will stand up, take your mat and walk. So one day, we individuals who make up nations, ask Jesus to change us, to heal us, despite the ramifications, undeterred by the consequences to follow. And then we become the people of the future realm, but here and now. Jesus is always asking, always, do you want to be made well? When we say yes, there is no more night, which is not desirable because darkness is bad. It's that there's no longer time for trouble to sneak in under the cover of darkness. There is no longer a place for secret plans to be made. And because we have said we want to be healed, there is no longer need for the cover of darkness and no more desire for darkness. God becomes our guiding light in every moment, day and night. You may have heard this realm mentioned another way via the artist Prince, a world of never-ending happiness. You can always see the sun, day or night. If we are healed, that is, if our brokenness, which looks like hatred, fear, isms, greed, hoarding, superiority, arrogance, or any other ugliness is mended, is cured, we're left with a lot of time on our hands, a lot of energy to redirect, a lot less of ourselves to think about. It's a big space that God can fill. And while we've always been people that God can guide, we become a people willing to let God do just that. God becomes our guiding light in every moment. If we're living into that realm as healed people, we might wonder what the Tree of Life is doing there. The Tree of Life makes a reappearance in Revelation after its appearance in Genesis, where it first provided for Adam and Eve. In Revelation, we read that it produces fruit each month, and its leaves are for the healing of the nations. The significance of fruit every month is that there is an abundance, which means no one goes hungry, no matter what time of year, for it is always harvest time. The significance of nations is that all peoples in all places are covered by this word. If we are people of the realm, which we see in Revelation, then we're an extension of the Tree of Life. If God is our guiding light, then are we not called to be agents of feeding so that none go hungry? If God is our guiding light, then are we not called to be agents of healing in this world? Friends, as I am wont to say, this is not easy, nor is it comfortable. It's familiar right here on our mats, and we can find our own versions of, I have no one to put me into the pool, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me. But Jesus keeps asking, do you want to be made well? This is a life's work, being healed of those uglinesses. And remember how healing often requires something of us. It begins again and again, each time we ask Jesus to change us, to heal us, despite the ramifications, undeterred by the fear of consequences to follow. Go out and be brave, my friends, undeterred by the fear of what might change if you change. Go and be made well. Let us pray. Yes, Lord, we wish to be made well. Heal us, make us stand, send us out, we pray. Amen.